In Luke chapter 4, I'm going to skip to verse 18 on there. I don't know if you've got it on there, Todd, but this is Jesus when he went into the synagogue, and it's a familiar passage, but I want to talk about some very practical things about the Holy Spirit working through us. Because sometimes what we think is that the Holy Spirit, when he works through us, that is, it always has to be fireworks and bells going off and great signs and wonders. And that's part of who Holy Spirit is, but it's not everything. And there's a real purpose for the Holy Spirit. So Jesus, when he got up in the temple in verse 18 of Luke 4, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it to an attendant and sat down. And all eyes on the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Now, moving in the Spirit has more, when the Holy Spirit is moving through you, moving from you, moving in the Spirit has more to do with you being who God made you to be than it is you having a top secret secret. Does that make sense? You know, because there's some of the best-selling books is Three Ways to Move in the Spirit by Sunday. And so people are like, whoa, three ways. I can figure this out and I can move in the Spirit. And it's like, well, hold on. It has so much more to do with doing what God has purposed to be done on the earth than it does us having this great ability. And sometimes we get that kind of confused. See, signs are to follow those who believe. They're not to be produced any other way than through a life that's submitted to the Holy Spirit. That's how it comes. When you look at anyone, I want us to understand that there's depth in what God moves and does, and there's more. In fact, God can do things that are mind-blowing, mind-altering, and this is part of who he is. But it's not just trying to get those places. But if you watch people who are moving in the Spirit, it's because they live in the Spirit. It's because they live a life that's submitted. They're for the same thing. See, God works. The Holy Spirit, even though God can do all things, he doesn't. How many know God doesn't bless sin? And he never will. God will not let sin into heaven. He never will. Can he do all things? But he has boundaries. And the Holy Spirit has boundaries. He will move and work for his purpose, not just for ours. Some of the men I've seen work the most awesome in the moving in the Spirit and doing things and seeing miracles and signs and wonders have been some of the most submitted and humble people before God you'll ever meet. They've laid down whatever they had before him. God has said, "Do this," and they're like, "Your will be done." Preached about that was Sunday, is that, you know what? We have to say, not my will be done, but your will be done. Out of that kind of lifestyle. And so in here, we have Jesus was saying this in Luke about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He was talking about what? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is on me. Jesus operated, even though he was God, he operated as a man. He said, "I came for a purpose." And the purpose of the Holy Spirit was listed out. And there's just a couple things that I want to look at because in here, we need to understand that the same anointing, the same Spirit that was on Jesus is on us to do the same work, not a different one, the same work. And so, and we know that in Romans 8, it says the Spirit, "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." And this is really understanding how this works. And I love in Luke 4 how it talks about it. It goes in several parts, and it talks about that the Spirit came on him not just to do mind-altering, blowing miracles. And it's like, well, that's hard because sometimes that's what people believe. I think some groups give a bad name because they get away from understanding the purpose of the Holy Spirit and they begin to chase the works of the Holy Spirit. You can't break them up. They're not separate. Jesus came not just to do works and miracles, but he came for a purpose, and they were tied and intertwined together. And so many times when you see some groups who get charismatic, they give the Holy Spirit and people, you ever hear people make fun of the Holy Spirit kind of deal? You know, I've had people say all the time, "Are you from that tongue-talking church?" I said, "Oh, we do more than that." "You know, you should come because you got a bad mouth." I said, "I don't know anybody could control that tongue." You can have fun with it, but a lot of times they give a bad name because what people do is they try to produce the work of the Holy Spirit without the purpose, if I'm saying that right. So we're going to pray for someone, and we're going to shout over them, and we're going to... Anybody ever been in a meeting like that? I feel so sorry for some people. It's like, man, that kid's neck's got to hurt by now. Say in the name of Jesus, back and forth. And I'm not trying to be weird, but it's what it is sometimes as people are trying to force it. We're going to force this thing to work. We're going to push in the Spirit and tell this thing we're going to push. And it's like, hold on, this ain't about your work. It's not about seeing a manifestation. The manifestation is not what we're ever supposed to chase. But what is the purpose of God? What is it? Holy Spirit, what are you wanting to do in this moment? And honestly, in some moments, the Holy Spirit wants you to do nothing because it isn't your place. It's his place. And so we have to understand that the purpose and the works of the Holy Spirit go together. They're not separate at all. And so in here it talks about preaching the gospel to the poor. And definitely that was something he did. And in Mark 2 and verse 17, it says, "When Jesus heard this, he told them, 'Healthy people don't need a doctor, but sick people do. I've come to call sinners and those who do not think they already are good enough.'" I like how I'm reading on New Living Translation. That's why I might read a little bit differently. But understand that when Jesus came, he did not come in the power of the manifestation of preaching, but the purpose of it. And the purpose wasn't to just show off some skills. It was like, I am preaching what? To find those who need it. I'm after the sick. I'm after the broken. These people over here who already think they're good enough, I'm not after them. I'm not pursuing them. Listen, and I want us to understand this because sometimes if we want to see the Holy Spirit begin to work through us more, we have to find out what he's doing and do what he does. Instead of praying that for somehow, I'm praying. I met several people over the years. I'm praying for the gift of healing. I'm praying for the gift of healing. Well, why? To heal people. Well, then go start praying. Go to the hospital. Start praying for people. Like what? Well, yeah. That's the purpose of healing. Not that you would have a large ministry and everybody would run to your altar for healing. So see, sometimes things turned around a little bit, and I could have my car, Damon Sturm, healer, and a banner outside. No, but I'm telling you, this is the way that sometimes, this is why much of the time the church lacks power, is because we don't understand how this is supposed to work. And so it's not about me. It's about, Holy Spirit, what are you doing? And if there's a time somewhere, and I have had times in my life where God has told me something, I've seen people get touched and healed, but it is in those moments when he said it, and it was the farthest thing from me, and it was out there. And I remember one guy, what was that guy up in Curl Hill that got his back healed? Do you remember him? He was a walking eagle, and he came to church one time, and it's just like in the middle of stuff. He did Indian religion. He didn't believe nothing about this white man Jesus, but he got married later in life, and he had a younger wife, and he had two little girls who come to church and did an Easter play. So he begrudgingly came to church. He was on disability. His back was blown out. He'd been through every Indian religion healing ceremony he could. Nothing happened. And in the middle of that, I was looking at him, and the Lord said, "You need to have healing. I want to do something." I'm like, all right. I don't even know what it all was. He came up front and he just stood there and he shook. He couldn't speak. His eyes were as big as saucers. I said, "How are you doing?" He couldn't speak. I said, "I think you're experiencing Jesus." I said, "He's pretty good." And he just left. And then the next Saturday he came to my house and he says, I'm healed. I haven't been able to touch. He was touching his toes. He said, "I'm 100% healed in my back." He said, "Can I come to church tomorrow and come up front and get saved?" I'm like, "Well, we could do that now if you'd like." He said, really? Like, yeah, we could do that outside of church. So here's the thing. It's not about your intentions. It's about his intentions. And so when we talk about looking for miracles or signs and wonders, it's not about, God, I'm looking for a miracle. God, I'm looking for a miracle. It's about, Holy Spirit, what do you have today? What are you doing today? What are you going to do here? How can you do this? It's not, see, Jesus, when he operated in the ministry, he operated in a place where when he seen people, there was something in him where he was led by the Spirit, where his heart was touched when it came to preaching to those who were poor. And it goes on and talks about preaching to liberty to the captives and the acceptable year of the Lord. There's something about Jesus that when it came to that, when he looked at the crowds, he was moved with compassion. And he's like, man, listen, that's the work of the Spirit. If you want to see the manifestation of the Spirit, it starts off with the purpose of the Spirit. And Jesus began to flow with the purpose. And in the middle of his day, which in some parts of our day, I get tired. My brain shuts off. And when someone says, Pastor, could you come talk to me? I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, the right answer would be yes. The right answer would be yes. I would love to. even though your mind's saying, no, you're lazy. You don't want to. I believe Jesus was in one of those moments. He was in a moment where a lot of guys could say, I just need a break. But as he looked out, his heart was moved. What was happening? He was in tune with the work of the purpose of the Holy Spirit that he had on earth. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, what? To do his work. The work of God. And so as he did those things, then you begin to see miracles happen. You begin to see things happen. But they followed him. He didn't have to produce them. They were just part of what went with him as he went on his way. When Jesus went from town to town, that was not a pleasant way to live. It isn't a good way to live now or then or any time. And so he lived in a rough spot. You know, there they didn't have all the nice things that we have. I mean, a lot of us, if we travel, we got to have a hotel room and a shower. Nice amenities like toilet paper. He didn't have those things. Okay, so it was rough in it everywhere. And he lived this lifestyle. Why? Because there was something in him where he was following the leading of the Holy Spirit. And why did Jesus move mightily? Because he was submitted to what Holy Spirit was doing. His purpose. And so it goes on, and another one of the things it said in there, you come to heal the brokenhearted. There's something about that where when Jesus came, he came to bring people into places of forgiveness and take them out of hurt or wounded spirit. And understand, as he did this, the miracles are amazing, but I'm telling you, people who just chase miracles are wishy-washy. I've watched guys get healed and walk away from Christ, which is amazing to me. We knew a guy who worked with a fellow who had throat cancer from smoking his whole life. He came in and got saved and went out for healing, and he got healed. 6 months later, he was back in the world drinking and smoking and cussing, going down the same path that got him where he was in the first place. The miracles, this isn't what it's about. The miracles are there. A sign and wonder are there because it makes people look. Yes, it does, but it's there because the compassion of God looks on someone and he says, man, I need to do something here. It's not just the end all. And so understand, when it comes to healing the brokenhearted, there's something about, understand, as Jesus did this, we do this. And so when we talk about healing the brokenhearted, Jesus had, there was something in him that when he seen people were broken, he wanted to be with them. There's something in him that when this woman who was an awful woman who was a prostitute come and did things at his feet, he sees something in her breaking. And he said, fellas, leave her alone. Quit it. She's doing something here that you guys ain't doing. There's something in her that people are going to talk about her for years to come. So there's something in him that moved it. And understand, as believers, when we're talking about moving in the Holy Spirit, the truth is that where does the Holy Spirit move? He moves to help people and show people the way to get what? To ones who are poor, to tell them the good news. Ones who are in captives, to set them free. And then he comes to get the brokenhearted and to bring healing. And I'm telling you, as a temple of the Holy Spirit, he works through us, not just with miracles, but with relationships. Nothing heals a broken heart like a believer who will come along someone who's broken and put their arm around them and make them their friend. Nothing helps that way. I think of an incident. Some of you might not know this, but my mom and dad had four children, but they had four that didn't make it. And so anyone who's lost a child knows that's a very hard deal. Well, I talked to my mom, and I knew the lady she was talking about, but they lost their first two children got lost. One was born, but barely, you know. And then me, when I was born, I was the third one, and there was a set of twins after me. And I almost didn't make it. I had pneumonia when I was born. But when the first two passed away, my mom was in a hard place, even though, because they were a part of a church, dad was associate pastor. And she was just really down. You know, God, what have I done? You know, is it just that I'm not worthy? You begin to wrestle. Anytime there's something going on, you begin to wrestle through those things. And so this lady who had been a good friend of hers, and was when I was born as well, who had several kids. I don't remember if you remember the Betts family or not. You don't remember them? Yeah, you might not have been born yet. But they had a lot of kids. This gal here had, I don't know, six kids maybe. And she's just one of those mamas, big mama gals. And she had a little baby, and she came over to visit mom, and mom was down in the dump and depressed. And she's like, well, you're going to get through it. And she says, would you hold this baby for a minute? And she's like, I don't know. She said, just for a minute. And she held on to her, and she said, well, here's his diaper bag. I'll be back later today. And she's like, what? I've got things to do, and you can. She said, I'm not taking care of that baby. She said, yes, you are. I'll be back later. And she left. She left mom there with the baby. And what happened is she really went through a time of God ministering to her. What happened? The Holy Spirit was working through this woman who was in my mom's life, who began to bring healing to a broken heart. So you begin to understand that when I'm talking about the Holy Spirit working through us, I'm not talking about we lay hands on someone and they're better in 10 seconds. I'm talking about it's done through relationship, it's done on purpose. It's done in such a way that it begins to change lives. So the purpose of the Holy Spirit is what? To heal broken hearts. And how does he do that? He does that through his body, being his body, who they're supposed to be, and allowing the Holy Spirit to work through them. That's the power of God. See, no one can change the heart, but God can. And he can do it through us. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And in those times, there could be times of word of wisdom, word of knowledge. There could be times of miracles. There could be times of signs and wonders, or there could not be. But the Spirit is still working. So it's powerful. We have to kind of look at it a couple different ways sometimes. It also talks about that he came to restore the sight to the blind. I'm not going to talk a whole lot on that. You know what? Well, actually, I'm going to read one verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is an image of God, should shine on them. Listen, there's something about the work of the Holy Spirit is to bring people out of blindness into the light. Bringing people to know Jesus. I don't know about you, but I love seeing people who don't have a clue about who God is come to know him. Because it's cool. I mean, you can find a more spiritual word, but I just think it's cool. When I see someone who other people don't have a hope for, and all of a sudden they find the truth about who Jesus is, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. But it's through us. See, there's other verses like in Matthew 5 that talks about you're the light of the world. What are you the light? You're the light of Christ to this dying world. And so what happens is that you begin to be that light. And when you watch guys like Paul and different ones, Paul would say, listen, I am going to show you truth. Follow me and do what I do as I follow him. He said, well, that's arrogant. No, that's very truthful. Listen, there's something in us. Conversation with a man, when I took Vegas up to North Dakota, I had a conversation with a guy who was an atheist, who was the head of tractor deal in Europe. He was the head of the Europe division. He was here for a meeting, and he sat next to me on the plane, which as soon as I found that out, I'm like, oh, sweet. And I listened to him, and he didn't believe in God. He went through this stuff, blah, 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 blah. Here's what I believe, blah, blah. He said, what do you do? He said, well, I'm a pastor. He's like, oh no. He said, you think everything I said is just, I said, no, I said, I understand. He said, you do? I said, yeah. Until you know him, you don't know him. Until you experience God, you really don't know. I said, I understand that. He's like, well, what do you mean? And after that, I had his attention because I wasn't against him. And he says, so you think if I was around you, I would know Jesus? I said, if you hung out with me all the time, you would. You would meet him and there wouldn't be a denial in your mind. Because if you hung around me long enough, there would come a point where you would touch the presence of God and you would know that all your arguments meant nothing when he showed up. He's like, really? I'm like, yep. And then he sit there and think, he's like, well, what about this? You know, but it was really interesting. I don't know what happened to him. I thought about getting his number, but I'm like, I don't need to. God just put him here, and I'm going to have a great time planting some seeds, and I'm going to have fun doing it. And for the next week, he's going to remember this conversation more than he does his little tractor meeting, you know. And so so it was a good time. But now here's the truth, is that we are there, what, to shine a light. When other people are sitting in darkness saying there's nothing, there's no hope, we can say, listen, I know there's a way. I know there's a way. I know there's peace in the middle of turmoil. I know there's life in the middle of nothing else. I know that there's these things there, and there's something about that where you can begin to share the truth of who Jesus is. That is the work of the Holy Spirit, and the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to shine through your life in such a way that it pulls people out of their darkness from the gods of this world into the place of the glorious light of Christ. That's his purpose. This is the purpose and work of the Holy Spirit. You want to see miracles? Step in the purpose. See, there's something about it that if you ain't stepping in the purpose, you ain't going to see it move. Why do some believers never see the power of God move greatly? Because they never trust him enough greatly to step off and follow what the Holy Spirit's doing. You say, can you say that absolute? Yeah, and I can pretty much prove it in the Word. I'm not worried about that part. But there's something about it. See, Peter didn't walk on water until he stepped on the boat. And people can make fun of Peter failing, but he got farther than the rest of them did. And he was an example to some ones and to us even today about having faith that continues and keeping our eyes on Jesus. Yes, but I am telling you that somewhere, if we don't get out of the boat, we'll never walk on water. Why? Because if you want to be part of what God's doing and his power moving, you got to be doing what he's doing. You got to be doing it. When Jesus read those words, he was already 30 years old. He was 30 at that time, or right about 30s, right, Glenn? It might have been iffy. I know a lot of theologians have ideas, but I don't know. Around the 30 range. But now here, understand this thing, is that Jesus had been growing in favor and strength before men and God. He was keeping in step with God, growing. He wasn't just vacationing. And in the beginning of this, he says, now, I've read this, today it's fulfilled. And that was the beginning of Jesus stepping out into a wider ministry of the power of the Holy Spirit. Not just the power to do miracles, but the power to help the captives get set free. Not just to do signs and wonders, but the power to take those who are blind and show them the glorious light of Christ. You know, not just the power to make people excited, but to take someone who is brokenhearted with no hope and at the end of their chain and bring them into a place where they have faith and hope and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Spirit. And so all those things kind of wrap together. And at the end, it talks about how he came to set the captives free. And it talked about how he came to set the oppressed free. This is all the work of Holy Spirit. So here's the work of the Holy Spirit. Not to find good fixed people, but to find messed up, broken, problem, weird, and goofy, the misfits, and love them. And to show them the kindness of Christ. To find a broken heart and begin to bring a relationship into it. Begin to do what you need to do in those areas. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's powerful. But in essence, we don't get to one without the other. And that's why we got to be careful how we do some things. I mean, there's some things where I know certain ways that I can step into his presence and touch him and get to where I need to get, because I can come only before the throne of grace, but also understand it's different when I'm actually when I'm following in step with the Spirit, and when I'm not, it's different. If I go all week and I'm doing nothing but serving myself, whining and complaining, I can get to church on Sunday and they can have the best slamming worship service in the world, and I'm dragging, thinking that someone might have missed it. Amen. Or I can be doing the purposes of God with my life all the time, following the Holy Spirit, and we have a worship service, and it doesn't matter if we have anything show up good or not, I'm touching the presence of God. See, they're you can't pull them apart. They're really stuck together. So, any comments or questions as I wrap up here? Does that help anybody thinking a little bit on some of that? I mean, we've been serving God for years, and sometimes I got to come back to the very same thing and say, God, how come you ain't working? And he's like, well, I'm over here, Damon. I'm doing this, and you're on a different project. If you would like to join me, I've got some good life over here for you. And it's just easy to get stuck on that and not understand, say, that's right, it's your deal. Let's follow you. And that's where our life comes from. And learning how to flow in the Spirit comes out of that before anything else. It's really the foundation. Anybody before we close? All right. Well, my phone died, so it must be time to be done. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for tonight. Holy Spirit, I pray that you help bring insight to us about what you want to do in our lives and how you want to work through our lives. Lord, I pray you help us to understand what the purposes that you have are in our life and the purposes you have on this earth. And then, Lord, help us walk with you in that way. Lord, don't let us get caught in following signs and wonders, because signs and wonders will be there, but help us to follow your leading. Holy Spirit, teach us, lead us, and guide us. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.